In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. This is the year of mercy, and I'm going to be praying with you the prayer of Pope Francis for the Jubilee Year of Mercy. And Pope Francis writes, "Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught us to be merciful like the Heavenly Father, and you have told us that whoever sees you sees the Father. Show us your face, and we will be saved." Hallelujah. Your loving gaze freed Zacchaeus and Matthew from being enslaved by money, the adulteress and the Magdalene from seeking happiness only in created things, made Peter weep after the betrayal and assured paradise to the repentant thief. Let us hear, as if addressed to each one of us, the words that you spoke to the Samaritan woman, "If you only knew the gift of God." Oh yes. And who is talking to you? You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. You are the visible face of the invisible Father, of the God who manifests his power above all by forgiveness and mercy. Let the church be your visible face, Lord, in the world. Its Lord risen and glorified, you willed that your ministers should also be clothed in weakness in order that they may feel the compassion for those who are in ignorance and who are in error. Let everyone who approaches them feel sought after, loved, forgiven by God. Send your Holy Spirit and consecrate every one of us with its anointing so that the Jubilee Year of Mercy may be a year of grace from the Lord and for your church. With renewed enthusiasm, may we bring good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to captives, oppressed, and restore sight to the blind. We ask this of you, Lord Jesus, through the intercession of Mary, the Mother of Mercy. For you, Jesus, live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I tell you, we are in the year of mercy, and what we need from God is mercy. We need mercy, and it comes from the cross. Mercy comes from the cross, and it's for you, no matter what you've done or how many times you've done it, God has in store for you mercy, M-E-R-C-Y, mercy. His heart is filled with mercy for you, and he wants to do something wonderful for you. Do you believe it today? Do you believe it today? You might have had 6 abortions. God wants to show you mercy. He wants to forgive you. He wants that you would experience his love. Yes, like the Samaritan woman who had 4 or 5 husbands, and the husband that she had now wasn't really her husband, but Jesus was after her, and she becomes the first evangelist that's a woman. She goes to the town and says, "Come and see the man that told me everything about myself." And she didn't say this, but she meant it. And he didn't even make me feel guilty. There was no guilt. There was just a call on her life that she would look at her life and know that she had sinned, that there was a repentance ordered, and God wanted her to repent. And God gave her living water. I'm telling you, there was forgiveness that day at Jacob's well. I'm reading from Luke 3, 1-6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip the tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Licinius was the tetrarch of Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. Why do we have all these names in the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea? Why do we have all this stuff? Because the gospel is real. It is not a myth. The people that believed in other gods were told myths, just like the Mormons. They were told myths. But Jesus Christ and John the Baptist come in history. In history, during the priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. And what happened? A voice crying out in the desert, that's John, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be leveled. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of our God. John came wearing camel hair. That's a very interesting thing, because that's unkosher. The camel was an unkosher animal. And what did he eat? Honey and locusts. The locust was from the tree, the locust tree. They were black beans. John enters into the world of the desert, and he says, he, Jesus, must increase, and I, John, must decrease. You know, during the early church, before things got settled, many people believed that John was the Messiah. But he is not the Messiah. He must increase, Jesus, and I must decrease. So we see that John the Baptist is a very important person during the time of Advent and during the year of mercy, calling people to repentance, calling people to repentance. This is real. This is real. God wants us to experience grace today, experience mercy today. I'm looking at yesterday's readings, the beautiful readings that the Lord gave us yesterday. A reading from the prophet Zephaniah. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Well, you know what? Are you shouting today? Hallelujah! Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. Do you hear that today? The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He does not judge you. He wants to forgive you. He has mercy for you. He has turned away your enemies. And sometimes the greatest enemy we have is ourselves. The King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. Do not be afraid, just trust the Lord. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. Oh, discouragement is so awful. Be not discouraged. Why? Because we have the hope of mercy. We have the hope of forgiveness. It's being poured out upon us now by the power of the cross. Fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst. He is a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness. The Lord's rejoicing over you with gladness, rejoicing, and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festival. I tell you, this God is a God of mercy. This God is a God of love. This God is the only God that there is, let me tell you. He is the only true God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, Father, and Holy Spirit. Who shows us the Father's face? Jesus. Jesus shows us the Father's face. That's what he does. He shows us the Father's face. I'm reading the second reading. It's from Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Yes, rejoice. Why? Because the Lord is coming. Rejoice because the Lord is coming. And He's coming with mercy today. And at the end of time, He'll come in judgment. But mercy is for today. Mercy. We are living in the year of mercy. Be it known to all, the Lord is near. He is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Do not be anxious. Do not be fearful. Do not be discouraged. God of mercy is for you and not against you. One person said, God is not mad at you. God is not mad on us. He has mercy to bestow on His people. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We rejoice that you have called us to be your very own people. We rejoice that you love us, and we rejoice that you have a plan for us, and that your plan is seen in mercy. Luke 3, verse 10 to 18. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" And John said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. Whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to John, "Teacher, what must we do?" And he answered them, and he said, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." You see, they could collect more and use the rest for themselves. Soldiers also asked him, "And what is that we should do?" And he told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone. Be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and they were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Messiah. John answered them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Oh yes, Lord, baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. Oh yes, that is the vocation of the minister. That is the vocation of the priest who is the minister. That we preach good news to people. Preach good news to people. That good news is all about Jesus and all about His mercy and all about His kindness and all about His forgiveness. Jesus forgives you. Jesus forgives you. Get to confession. Get to confession. Get to confession. Jesus wants to forgive you. He doesn't look at your sins. He looks at your heart and says, "I want to reside in this heart, but first they must repent and receive my mercy." It's all about mercy, boys and girls, men and women. It's all about mercy. That's what life is all about on this earth, because of God, because of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit. I'm reading from the 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before you, touching all the things whereof I am accused by the Jews." The Jews had accused him of speaking against Moses and speaking against the temple. It was a lie. "Especially because I know you to be an expert in the customs and the questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first time mine own, nation at Jerusalem, known to the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straight sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. Remember, Pharisees believe in the resurrection. Pharisees believe in angels. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Jesus is that hope. He is the one who died and rose, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly served God day and night. Hope to come. Jesus again is that hope. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He's going to give his testimony. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. We hear what Paul did before his conversion, how he jailed Christians, how he killed Christians. We remember Stephen forgiving Paul, and that is the opening for Paul to become the great evangelist to the Gentiles. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto the strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, the Shekinah glory, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, in Hebrew, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goad. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But, you know, Paul could have said, you know, I've never seen you, Jesus. How do I persecute you? To persecute the Christian is to persecute Jesus. We must be very careful with people, because when we hurt people that are Christian, we hurt Jesus. We sin against Jesus. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen and these things in which I will appear unto you, delivering thee from my people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. In other words, he's going to go to the Gentiles. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. How does he do that? By preaching the gospel, by preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and raised from the dead, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's through forgiveness. That's through reconciliation, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He knew it was a vision from heaven. He knew that this was Jesus of Nazareth. He was absolutely convinced, and he's not going to settle with anything less, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God. That they should repent and turn to God. Here we have mercy again. Repentance first. Not very many people talk about repentance. We need to turn away from our sins and turn to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying, none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come about, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said in a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. You are mad. Much learning doth thou make you mad. But Paul said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knows all these things before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. He's talking about his conversion. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the power of God. King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets? Well, I know you believe. He didn't even give him a chance to answer the question. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost you have persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only that you would hear me this day, we're both almost together, such as I, that you would be a Christian, except for these chains which I bear. And when he had said this, the king arose, and the governor, and Bernice, and they all sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man does nothing worthy of death, or of bonds, or of chains. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been at liberty if he had not appealed to Caesar. So he, Paul, is not happy with going to Caesarea by the Mediterranean. He wants to appeal to Caesar. Why does he want to appeal to Caesar? He wants to tell Caesar about his conversion. He wants to tell Caesar about the blood. He wants to tell Caesar about the cross and resurrection of Jesus. That's what he wants. Paul wants to go to Rome. As a matter of fact, the reason he's going to go to Rome is because they struck him. And they had no right to strike a Roman citizen. And so what happens? Paul says, I'm going to Rome. The Lord told him he should go to Rome. And Paul is just the person that will witness to the people in Rome. He will witness to the people in Rome about the Lord Jesus Christ, because there are already Christians in Rome, and he will want them to grow. And they will put Paul in a house by the sea, and you know what? Paul will continue to preach the gospel when he goes to Rome. Tomorrow we write and read, Paul sails for Rome. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We are living in the Jubilee Year of Mercy. I want to tell you again, mercy is being extended to everyone who hears my voice. Mercy is being given to those who repent. Come to confession. Come and repent of your sins. Come and know the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. For his mercy is infinite, and it points toward you. But you say, I'm not worthy. That's right, neither am I worthy. But it's not about worthiness. Jesus is worthy. The Lamb of God is worthy. And he has for you mercy, mercy, mercy. He does not judge you, as he did not judge the Samaritan woman. He does not judge you. He wants you to know that he loves you and that he has mercy for you. We see Paul telling King Agrippa about Jesus. And Agrippa says, Paul, you're out of your mind. You want to make me a Christian. And Paul said, would that you would be a Christian, but without the chains that I bear. Paul knew what he was talking about. And now, tomorrow, we will see that Paul will be going to Rome. He wants to go and witness to Caesar about the things that God has done and what God is doing. I tell you, God is still doing things through Jesus Christ. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.